Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, over the coming weeks, our reporter Brian O'Connell is going to be looking at a community who are some of the most marginalised within our health service and who have in the past been repeatedly let down by disjointed services. The issue of dual diagnosis, that is, people living with mental ill health and an addiction, has proved a challenge for health services with a lack of a coherent national strategy until now. Well, Brian joins me on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Claire.
So tell us first who we're talking about and why it's proving challenging to meet the needs of this community.
We're talking about, as you said, people who are living with a mental ill health and an addiction, but often and not always, it could be people who are engaged, for example, with homeless services. I suppose the issue has been, as you refer to, that mental health services and addiction services haven't always been on the same page. If you look back to the overall national strategy Vision for Change all the way back in 2006, it really separated out mental health services and addiction services, and it set them on a divergent path. Now, many would say this was to really fundamentally misunderstand the complex needs of this community. The most recent mental health strategy, Sharing the Vision, it pretty much reverses that decision. There's a belated realisation now that you must meet people where they're at. So now we're going to have a dual diagnosis network, a network of dual diagnosis teams that's in the process of being set up. Some have been set up. The reality is, I suppose, we've a long way to go. Some organisations have taken it upon themselves and they really are driving reform and they're putting the services in place as people present.
So today we're going to focus on some of those people who fall between the cracks, and you're going to be looking at possible solutions or improvements in subsequent reports. But you started, Brian, with people who are living in really difficult circumstances.
Well, we want to highlight the sharp end of dual diagnosis and to show how often this community feels like they fall between the cracks. They're not being met with services. They feel in a way that recognises how difficult their lives are sometimes. So I began in Limerick City Centre, where I met a community of people, all of whom, Claire, are dealing with a mental ill health and are in active addiction. This first man told me how difficult it has been for him to access the services he needs, and you're also going to hear a community worker who's been helping him.
Heroin, drugs, everything, crack, cocaine. For the last 15 years, the services, anytime I went for help, I couldn't get help.
What about mental health then? Because I'd imagine...
My mental health isn't great.
In what way? How would you describe it?
I'm bipolar.
When were you diagnosed as being bipolar?
Around 12 years ago.
Okay.
I'm getting tablets for it because there's no proper help there. Like. I mean, the government should do more for people like us.
You diagnosed with bipolar 12 years ago. You were telling me you're in addiction for 15 years.
Yes.
Is the problem when you present to services that you almost fall between the two cracks, between the mental health services and the addiction services?
Yes.
The other thing as well, is there one fixed location where you can go and get all the services, or are you having to go here for addiction?
You have to go to different locations, yeah, but...
If you wanted to go into detox now, would there be a better way to...
No, you have to wait.
How would you describe to bipolar to someone who doesn't understand it at all?
Sometimes I might freak out, hit walls, start roaring and shouting for no reason at all.
And what's in your head when that happens?
I see red sometimes. I kind of hold on. I don't know why I'm holding on, but I am.
What keeps you holding on?
My kids. My kids. They blame the drugs for it, mostly. But it isn't.
So the mental health services will say to you the reason the medication is not working is because you're taking heroin, for example, or methadone.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
When someone goes with bipolar and are given, in this man's situation, for example, and are given the medication, they know that they're not going to give up heroin in the morning, so they know that they're mixing the drugs for bipolar and for heroin, the treatment is not going to work.
So that is why you need to treat both at the same time,
exactly.
Isn't it? And I suppose it's why the people treating your bipolar and the people who are trying to help you with your addiction need to be talking to each other, surely.
Exactly, yeah.
So I suppose we should say, Claire, for many, medication is hugely important in helping to treat mental ill health. But in his case, as you heard, he's taken the medication on top of heroin and then the services are not really joined up. Now, just after speaking with that man, near him under a small alcove at the side of a road in Limerick was a tent, and beside it was a makeshift camp with some tarpaulin covering it. A young couple, I discovered, have been living here for about a year. Some of their account listeners may find distressing. They spoke to me as well.
every time we went to go and seek for help, like, they just keep kind of like pushing us away.
So at the moment you're here, it's...
We're here a year.
You're living here a year in this tent, which is under a little alcove at the side of the road.
When I was just basically turned 3 years of age and my brother was killed, and I've seen every bit of it happen, like, I was standing there and watched every single bit of it happen.
So that trauma stayed with you?
It's still with me. PTSD.
PTSD. So what happens then when you present looking for help? Because some people I've been talking to would say, I go for mental health services, and they say, oh no, you need to go and sort out your addiction first.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, how does that happen?
But really, it's not. Like, we're only taking drugs to get rid of our mental health. Like, that's the reason people, and most people, are on drugs. It's because of mental health.
What would make it easier for you?
You need to stop looking down on us.
What about the A&Es then, when you go to the emergency departments?
We're in there hours. Yeah. On hours.
They don't really realise that drugs is, you only take drugs to get rid of your mental health.
So that's a fairly stark insight there, Brian, into just how challenging it is for people to access services. You mentioned there that while the national strategy rolls out, some organisations are already changing and pivoting.
Yeah, and there are moves within the HSE. They've launched a new model of care around dual diagnosis. There was funding provided in the budget for additional staff. 12 teams are being set up nationally. I understand Cork in the Midwest began last year. More staffing is to be added. So there is a recognition now that we haven't really serviced this community well. Two charities I want to mention, Merchants Quay Ireland and Dublin Simon, both have been offering services recently which are likely to make inroads in addressing the needs of the community in Dublin. So Dublin Simon, we reported before, they have this new state-of-the-art medical facility. It's a one-stop shop, if you like. That's now up and running. I'm going to visit this in the coming weeks. And then last week I was in Merchants Quay Ireland in their new medically supervised injecting facility. It's facilitated over 100 addicts so far in a very clinically controlled environment, where they can engage with addicts on their mental health needs at the same time. Eddie Mullins is CEO. In a former life, you'll know, Claire, he was governor of five prisons, including Mountjoy. So he spoke to me about some of the challenges around dual diagnosis as our health system is set up currently.
So many cases when you talk to people who are struggling with mental health and addiction, there's this question mark as to whether the addiction or the substance misuse led to mental health issues, or whether a person had mental health issues and the substance abuse was a way of coping and dealing with that. And I think there's probably, and I, as I say, I'm not an expert, but I think there's probably an element of both in it. And that's why, you know, it's great to see, you know, the state agencies like the HSE and other organisations and health organisations taking the whole dual diagnosis concept, if I'm using the wrong word here, but I'll say concept, very seriously, because previously both were separate. But I think the reality is you had people who were professional in mental health support and people who were professional in addiction, and they didn't talk to each other. So there was this absolute non-collaboration. And again, this is me, Eddie, talking with lived experience rather than, you know, any particular clinical knowledge.
There are a number of HSE pilot projects around the country now. There's a belated recognition, I think, that in terms of dual diagnosis, we need to meet the person where they're at.
Yeah. It certainly hasn't changed to the extent that it needs to change. And, you know, my own, and again, it's opinion. My own opinion is it's a bit class-based. So, for example, addiction, mental health issues, you're looking at, not exclusively, but in a lot of cases, you're looking at people who are in, who have come from poverty, trauma, deprived areas. And when it comes to, we'll say, the hierarchy of medical supports, that doesn't really register high up on the priority list.
So that's a fairly honest appraisal from Eddie Mullins there. Now, you went into the supervised injecting centre, Brian, and there is a big focus there on mental health support.
I mean, there has been a lot of focus on this centre and the fact that we now have a clinically supervised drug taking in Ireland. It took some time to get it set up. What struck me really was the mental health expertise that is now meeting the addict when they present and when they engage with the centre. So what happens is someone will go in, they'll use the facility, they go into a booth, and then they can go into a room adjacent, and it's there that the mental health specialist can engage with the person. So to this end, Merchants Quay have dual diagnosis professionals hired to do this work. It's much harder, obviously, Claire, outside of this environment, if you're down a side street, crouch behind a wheelie bin to try and engage with someone. One of the new staff hired with a speciality in dual diagnosis is Mustafa Karkari, who's a psychiatric nurse. And he told me finally about some of the changes they're seeing.
My experience with working with this patient population is there is a challenge with the referral pathways, because these services are kind of disjoint or disjointed, I should say. You need to provide a holistic care and a well-integrated, comprehensive care. But what I have seen here in Ireland is that both mental health services and addiction service providers are not well situated to provide this holistic care.
It's not integrated.
Yeah, it's not integrated.
Frustrating then for people like you. You've built up trust, you've worked with a client, they're ready to be referred on, they want the help, and you're trying to access the services and they're not really pivoted towards them.
Yeah, that is very true. It's one of the challenges that we face.
Let's imagine you're Minister for Health for one day.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Dealing with dual diagnosis is very complex. It requires an integrated approach. I would put in a proposal that we have one service that provides dual diagnosis treatment.
You're talking about a one-stop shop.
One-stop shop, because when my experience with this patient population is that when you keep referring them to different services, they lose interest.
And that's Mustafa there. So you're going to be looking at other aspects of all of this over the coming weeks, Brian.
I'm going to be talking to experts and visit the Dublin Simon facility. It's the kind of one-stop shop that Mustafa mentioned there. And we're going to look at what's happening now around this new national strategy where teams are being put in place around the country.
Thank you very much, Brian. Brian's going to be putting up a lot of this online, and this series of reports is being supported by the Rosalind Carter Fellowship for Mental Health Journalism in partnership with Shine. And if you have been affected by anything you've just heard, you can get support by visiting rte.ie/helpline. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, we'll have the latest on the first full day of the Middle East ceasefire with BBC special correspondent Fergal Keane. In just a few hours, Donald Trump will officially become President of the United States. We'll be keeping a close eye on developments there. Has COVID become a mild disease? Luke O'Neill explains. We'll have parenting advice too from David Coleman. There's still time to get your questions in on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Coming up next, though, conductor Stephen Bell explores the enduring hits written by the man behind some of the world's best loved musicals, Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.